Welcome to the Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 259, MSP versus the One. I am your host, Jeff Halish. This is our live call-in show for Computer Repair Techs. We answer your questions on running your computer repair business. The call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. The Computer Repair Podcast is brought to you by Ninja, the simple-to-use remote monitoring and management solution. Try it free at ninjarmm.com/10off. And also by Repair Shopper, the all-in-one platform created specifically for computer repair businesses. Go to repairshopper.com and start your free trial today. Remember, that's Repair Shopper with one P and no E. All right, let me introduce the co-host. We have Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. How you doing, Paco?
Better than good, better than most. How are you, Jeff?
I am doing awesome. Glad to have you on the show today. All right, let's go ahead and since you are my only co-host today, why don't you give a tip or story that we could learn from?
Sure. Tip that I have for you, and I could probably give you a twofer because they kind of relate to each other. The one tip I give is to review your invoices, especially those that are recurring charges out of your account. I know a lot of us tend to not really notice a lot of maybe a little increase here and there. But what ends up happening is that there could be particular fees or additional services that were added without your knowledge, or that you were told to, but you never looked at the statements. So similar situation happened. I use Vantiv over with Repair Shopper. And a lot of people who have used Repair Shopper know about this situation where if you are running your credit cards through them, you have a invoice that gets mailed to you every month. They also, in their dashboard, you can access it, kind of go from there. Well, apparently, as of July, they took it upon themselves to add a chargeback service fee of $750 for every invoice. And their explanation is, hey, instead of charging you $15 for every chargeback transaction that will hit your account, we're going to do a solid for you, only charge you $750. It was told to us on the statement with Vantiv. But the big piece about this was in our agreement with Repair Shopper, we were only supposed to have a particular fee for the charge. Nothing more, nothing less. So what ended up happening outside of that was a phone call had to be made over to them, and it was a big mess. So something you want to take a look at, because I didn't notice until someone actually posted into the Repair Shopper Facebook group, and this was already about 3-4 months in. So as I went back, I even went back even further and noticed all kinds of other fees that just weren't supposed to be added in the first place. So just a tip, make sure you check your recurring invoices, make sure that there's no surprises, and if there are, just something to talk to the vendor about to see what's going on.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where our paperwork is probably the least important thing in our minds, even though it's very important in our business and it's the last thing we want to deal with. But sometimes you do have to go back and review and make sure you know what's going on inside your business.
Yep. And this is the perfect time to do it too. I mean, I literally, before I jumped on the show, probably spent the last 2 hours shredding basically every letter, statement in an envelope that I just kind of put to the side that I'll look at when I get the chance. And they probably have been sitting there for at least a month or two.
Okay. I've been getting bad with that too, where I haven't gone through and even forgot to charge a couple customers. It was on my list. I was going to get to it. And it's funny because people always tell me, they tell me, make sure you bill me for that. Yeah, I will. I will. When I get around to it. Yeah, well, no, because it would actually be much easier on me if I would do it as I go with it. And that's with everything. All right. So I've got a couple tips. My first tip is, well, I've got a tip and a rant, I should say. I don't have two tips. So I'm going to make you feel good, give you something out there that you can use. And then I'm going to tear you down and make fun of some people. So the first one is Grasshopper has a desktop app. For those that don't use anything like a VoIP system that you can use on your cell phone, I've been using Grasshopper ever since I stopped using Google Voice years ago for various reasons. And I pay a monthly fee and my business number is ported through them. I can get it on my cell phone. But the one thing that I don't like about that system, and I had the problem a little bit with Google Voice, maybe a little less, is all these systems seem to, there's a bit of lag when you're talking to a customer on your cell phone through this app, whatever it is. All of them, RingCentral, every one of them has not been great service for me. And maybe it's my cell phone, I don't know. But one of the things that I was waiting for this and waiting for this and waiting for this, Grasshopper finally came out with a desktop app that you can put on your desktop and call right from there, which is cool because now I can put on my headset with my microphone and I can basically call a customer. The call quality is so much better going through the internet than it is over a cell phone. I can have a conversation remote into their computer, fix whatever I need to fix, tell them goodbye. There's no waiting for the lag to catch up in us to have a normal conversation. So if you are a part of Grasshopper and you didn't know it, I'm sure you do, but they did send out an email. It's probably about a month and a half ago. I've been using the app and I love it on my desktop and it works flawlessly. No problems whatsoever. Grabs my headset and I dial the numbers and boom, I'm connected to my customer. The second thing, which I will call a rant, I guess. So this is tips and tricks and rants and such. My rant would be email etiquette. Now, I know everybody's busy and I get it. Here's the one thing. When people email the show, I always tell people I will always email you something back, at least to let you know that I got it. So if you ever send me an email and you don't receive a response back, please send me another email and let me know you didn't receive a response because maybe it went to a spam folder or something like that. You could probably check that first and see if my email didn't come back to you for whatever reason. Lots of businesses have different spam filters and stuff set up. So sometimes depending on where the address is coming from, maybe you don't get it back. But I respond to every email that I get, period. And it's been hundreds and hundreds of emails over the past few years. So with that being said, when you ask for a response to something and I respond to it, I don't know, just click a quick reply and say, hey, I got it. Thanks, man. Cool. I understand or whatever. But a lot of times people ask me a question. I give them an answer of what to do. And then for whatever reason, there's no communication back to let me know that, yeah, I got it. And here's the piece of information that you need to do whatever. So I'm being very vague about this because I don't want to point anybody out. But I'm just saying that just send a quick little response back and say, hey, I got it. Cool, man. Thanks. Takes a quick second. I know everybody's busy. But if I'm going to respond to your email, I would appreciate knowing that at least whatever I've sent you, you got, and I was able to solve the problem. Because I don't want anybody out there to think that I left them hanging with no response whatsoever. Because that is not what I do. So if that's happened in the past, just let me know, give me a heads up or whatever. But I would appreciate just a quick reply. You just got to hit reply, got it. Hey, thanks, whatever. Doesn't matter. But then at least I know you got the information, and you can move forward with whatever information I've shared. All right, that's my rant. Why are you smiling?
Because for me, it takes me like literally almost like a couple weeks to get back to somebody, and let alone you want to reply back to a response to you. My thing is, if I sent an email back and they got their email, hey, they got their answer.
Yeah, I know. I just want to be thorough, and that's part of what I do. I'm very thorough in everything I do. So if I haven't fixed or solved somebody's problem, I'm kind of like going, hey, I don't want them to think that I left them hanging. Communication goes both ways. I guess that's why the divorce rate is so high in this country. That's all I'm going to say.
Which is also good.
Oh, anyways. All right. So let's move on from there. Let's take a quick break and we'll get into our main topic, which I'm sure I will have plenty more snarkiness where that came from. Our show today brought to you by Ninja, the remote monitoring and management solution to help you become more efficient, more productive, and more profitable. With Ninja, you can have a faster fixed response time and offer preventative maintenance to your customers. Ninja understands what you need to run your business, which is why their RMM solution is integrated with tools you use every day. Ninja provides competitive pricing, patch management, antivirus, email and SMS alerting. You can be up and running quickly with minimum training time. You have TeamViewer integration for that remote support. It's one solution for managed and non-managed clients alike. Network visibility inside the RMM. Find out what's going on inside their network before they even do. Easy-to-read dashboards, which makes it nice because you can look at something quickly and assess whether you need to take care of that problem or not. A powerful device search where you can create custom queries and export the list to show your customers. Customers love to see what you're doing for them and what they're paying you for. They also have an executive style report showing important system metrics such as health score, software added or removed, hardware changes, and TeamViewer connections, which somebody like Paco absolutely loves that executive style report because it makes him feel important and it also gives him a feeling of he knows what's going on inside of his RMM, which is good because for the people that think they can just set it and forget it, no. You got to do a little bit of work, and Ninja makes it easy for you. Ninja is offering Podnuts a free 30-day trial when you decide to buy, a 10% discount. Take advantage of this offer. Go to ninjarmm.com/10off. All right, let's go into our main topic. So at the beginning of the show, obviously, we called the show MSP versus the One. And Paco actually brought this topic up. I don't know where he got it from. Maybe his head, maybe somewhere else. I'm not sure. But basically, the whole premise of the topic is a one-person show, in other words, a one-person computer repair business, what types of things can you be good at? And what types of things can you sell yourself on to an end customer? And let me preface all this with saying that there are many different ways of doing businesses. Many. The problem that I see in any type of industry nowadays is a lot of people out there are saying, nope, this is the way you got to do it. You got to have employees. You got to grow your business to X amount. And you got to make this much money. And here's what you got to do. And they almost make a lot of us feel like, not me because I don't care, but they make a lot of us feel like we're not producing because we're not doing it their way. So there are different types of people, and different types of people like to do things in their business differently. And I'll say it like this. Each of these types of businesses, whether you decide to go out there and do everything yourself, and maybe use some subcontractors every once in a while, or if you decide to actually have employees, every one of these has pros and cons. None of them are 100% hunky-dory, rainbows and unicorns. It's not a reality. So I want to start having this discussion about what are some of the things that we can bring to the table, and then what are some of the things that we can also learn from other different sized businesses out there. So Paco, what brought this on as far as this topic coming up, however you got it?
So the reason why I brought it up, I didn't bring up the show title, so I don't know about the One, but rest in peace to Man in the Van. But I was trying to basically get this as a forefront, especially before the new year, is I had decided on taking a different turn for my own business and make us more small business IT centric. So we're trying to lean more toward a small business IT versus doing the residential computer repair. Now, I'm in the middle of updating all of our wording, you know, making sure that our website says we do small business IT versus just saying, hey, we do virus removals, et cetera, which some have those hybrid approaches. But if you don't advertise that you do small business IT, no one's going to think you're doing small business IT. So as I was starting to think about this, I started noticing that there were a lot of managed service providers, especially in the area, that were really dogging the small guy. And into the now, for their benefit, they are basically trying to educate the customer on the pizza techs, those that are just trying to jump in, make a little bit of money. It's a hobby, and then they write off in the night. But the way that they are structuring it does hurt a lot of the one-man shows / one-man small business ITs that do exactly like you said. They have part-time help. They hire subcontractors, and a majority of the business is just them. And I thought that it would be really interesting to bring it up because when we are in front of a customer who, let's say, has maybe 30 to 40 endpoints, and this would be a very lucrative contract for us, whereas this other MSP managed service provider that has been around for a little bit makes that same pitch, they're going to make sure to educate them on, hey, this is why we're here. This is why you should do things. And then arming the customer with these set questions, like you mentioned before, on how to determine the right IT support for your business. So the reason for me bringing it up is the discussion on how do you brand, advertise, and make sure that the customer understands that you are a good fit after you've done your due diligence to know that that customer is a good fit for you.
Just off the top of my head, I think it's one of those things where you have to figure out in your business what things you are willing to do and what things you are willing to not do, because that is very important. And if you can nail that down to, hey, I'm going to take care of as many as 10 endpoints per business or 20 endpoints per business or 30 or whatever the number is. And you can decide that in your head and figure out what types of things that you can put in place to make that possible, whether it is your automated services. Now, there are a lot of businesses, and a lot of businesses will, there's a lot of MSPs that will disagree with me. And when I say MSPs, managed service providers, people who call themselves managed service providers because they didn't like, I don't know, technician, I fix computers, computer repair. What, it didn't sound as cool. So, you know, all the cool kids went out and said, I'm a managed service provider. And then everybody else jumped on a bandwagon and I go, whatever. Because I don't want to say that, you know, sometimes when there's really hard problems, it's not them fixing it. It's me. So anyways, with that being said, I think that we really need to figure out what the things are that you want to do and what services you can provide, because a lot of people out there will, they're available 24/7, and there are managed services that are available 24/7, and there are businesses that might need that. But in my opinion, from what I've seen from businesses that have been around for many, many years and have gone through different things, they can absolutely survive sometimes without internet access, phones, or whatever. So a lot of these services that we look at, and when somebody says, oh, I got to be up and running 24/7, or I'm just losing all kinds of money. Yeah, to the bean counters in on paper, that sounds really good. But the problem is, and that's fine, as long as they're willing to pay X amount of money for that. And so maybe an MSP-sized business or a business with client or with employees would be better fit to be able to, they've got a person on call 12 hours during the first part of the day, 12 hours during the second part of the day. And that's fine. And maybe that business needs it. But what a lot of people are saying is they're making this assumption that every business out there needs this type of support in order to continue to do what they're doing. The reality is I've been in many a restaurant, a salon, whatever type of business you want to call, and guess what? The processing for the payment services is down. Guess what they do? Oh, well, they do one of two things. They either take cash, which I know a lot of people don't carry cash, and this is why you should actually carry cash with you. Or what they'll do is, I've even seen them pull out the old little thing where they put their credit card in and take a carbon copy of it. But the reality is there are different ways that they can actually take money. It would be real easy for a lot of these businesses to have a backup service like a Square, which they could take online payments. Basically, even if all they had was maybe a 3G signal on a phone or something like that. There's many ways around this, but it's like, How important is that? And like I said, that's going to depend on each and every type of business. Now, what I've found is in walking into a lot of businesses, anything under 10, most of your MSPs, they don't want to mess with it. And I've seen the quotes. They'll come in and the customer will give me the quote and go, hey, here's what they wanted to charge. It's funny, customers will share a lot of information with you about the competition out there. Because they're like, and they'll tell you that, yeah, I kind of got the feeling that we're kind of a little too small for them. We've only got 8 computers here. And that's not really what they deal with, which is fine. Now, you also have to make a sound judgment in your mind and say, do I want to handle 30, 40 computers on site? Now, I will tell you that a lot of services out there, and John Dubinsky is a fine example, he has a lot of the same type businesses. So it's hundreds of endpoints, but it might be 10 over here at this shop, 10 over there at that shop, 25 at that shop, 50 at that, whatever. It's all different, but he's doing the same types of things with everything. And with remote services now, a lot of this stuff you can do sitting right at your desk. A lot of that stuff can be fixed. So do you need to be able to roll a truck out every time there's a problem? You know, these are all the questions that really need to be answered. So, and I'm not trying, I'm making fun because as Paco has said, we get dogs sometimes and it doesn't make any sense because there's a lot of smart individuals out there that know how to run a business and can make as much money as they want. And again, gross revenue profits mean absolutely nothing to me. Whatever your gross revenue is, I could care less. It could be $5 million. It doesn't matter to me. What I care about is, what am I taking home at the end of the day, at the end of the year? That's the important thing. I'm not taking home $5 million. What portion of that, after I paid all my bills, all my employees, and all the stuff that needs to be paid, what am I actually keeping? That's the most important thing. And a lot of people will hide behind this gross revenue and say that their gross revenue is this, and they've moved up X percent. And that's not where it's at, in my opinion.
So a couple things. The first thing is, I think that the gross revenue / net revenue is a misconception to a lot of people. However, if it's used in a right way, it actually is a good gauger. Gross revenue for a lot of customers or for a lot of companies, including us that are building out, you have to understand gross revenue, and this is to the listeners, not you, that the listeners have to understand. Gross revenue means you made an accomplishment that you had people pay you X amount of dollars that year, whether it's equipment, whether it's software, whether it's whatever. You got somebody or several people in that year to pay X. And if that increases per year, then that means that you as a business owner are doing very well convincing people to pay you for a skill set, equipment, or software for their business or residential. So, yes, it is something where if someone, you know, hey, I'm a $5 million MSP. Sure, that's cool in the fact of, you know, throwing the weight around. But it doesn't matter, like Jeff said, is internally, does that make a difference in your lifestyle that you are a 5 million MSP? So that's the first thing. So keying off of that, that is not something that should worry a lot of business owners running their IT shop. And I've said this on Podnuts Daily before, where to me, there is no such thing as part-time. There's no such thing as full-time. We are all business owners. Whether you decide how much time you want to spend on your business is your prerogative, but never discount what you are doing as a business owner, because you are still running a business. And if anything, you are probably busier than a one-legged man in a fanny kicking contest, because you are taking on two different entities, your own day job, and that among other things that you're taking care of as well personally. So that takes a lot of courage, and that takes a lot of time, and that takes a lot of positive encouragement to keep going. Now, bringing all this back home is, you have to understand that eight, maybe I'll be even daring to say nine times out of 10, you can probably do everything that an MSP is competing with you on that they're saying. The biggest difference is how you word things to the customer that this MSP or managed service provider is wording to the customer. So, for example, there's one here that I actually was digging around to some of my competitors around in the area, and they have a tip sheet on, hey, these are questions you should ask your IT business potential if they are a good fit for you. And one of the questions was if they specifically, being the IT company, do they insist on remotely monitoring your network 24/7? And do they make sure that you're up to date with both patching, Windows updates, or third-party patching, Windows updates, and your virus antivirus system? Everyone who listens to the show and everyone who's been starting out has probably jumped on Ninja, has probably jumped on some of the other RMM products that are out there and have made this work. And guess what? It's the same thing they're doing. It's three common things that end up messing with people, and that's bad exploits through not updated systems, not an antivirus or doesn't have an updated antivirus, not updated third-party software. So one question on, hey, are they insisting that they're taking care of you 24/7? Technically, yeah, we can do that for 24/7 because it's a software. And that's what we do. So it's not something we are physically being done. Another piece of the fact that I was looking at is, hey, if they call you, and this is, Jeff will get a kick out of this, are you calling them and leaving a voicemail? And are they calling you back? Or are they picking up the phones? We answer the phones 24/7. Look, you can have a business hours. I have a virtual office that's open from 8:30 to 5. And for those that are full-time business owners, we constrain ourselves to those hours. You don't need to be 24/7. But for those that are part-time or that are doing this business after hours for when they get the chance, or doing the several hours after hours before at night, in the evening, or in the morning before they do their full-time job, during the time that you have a full-time job, hey, guess what? That's what has to happen. And this goes back to what you had said, Jeff, is finding the right client that fits with you. I think Jorge Hernandez, who's doing some rebranding on his own technology company, has a full-time job as a network administrator, I believe. And Jorge can correct me if he still listens in his live. But he has his business on his own after hours, and tells them specifically, I'm only available after hours. I will not pick up your call during the day. And he's making a great income as a side income, because that's what he's chosen to do. So finding the right customer, and not only finding the right customer, and my whole point of bringing this topic is you've already vetted and found the right customer. How do you compete with the managed service provider that is essentially saying, I don't think he's probably going to, this is what you want to ask. And you want to make sure you prepare yourself for those questions, which a good friend of mine would call block response selling.
I think with that, all that being said, is you got to look at some of the things that we're looking at from our standpoint of what services are different than what maybe a larger company is going to provide. And if we look at it and go, there's not really a whole lot of differences. Maybe there's some differences on price. Maybe they're telling you that they're going to do X, Y, and Z. In my opinion, though, it seems to me, if you look at a business that maybe has 5 employees, they can do different work than a business that has 10 employees. Or maybe it's much different work than the person that's doing everything by themselves. But the reality is, you can build your business up to a certain point to where you're making the money that you want to make. And again, it's that net that you're keeping, not the gross, because the gross can misconstrue everybody on size of business big time. You don't need to have everybody in your city using your services. This is where a lot of people get misled. You really don't. You need to have a group of customers that you are able to take care of depending on how needy they are, businesses, residential, whatnot. So I think when we talk about differentiating ourselves from maybe bigger companies, I don't really think a lot of times we're chasing the same things, but for some reason, it seems to me there are certain people out there that are threatened by the one-person shop.
Yep. And I think the biggest piece of that is making sure to differentiate yourself like exactly that. Don't try to be the big MSP. So, perfect example. One example you could probably provide to them and say, hey, this MSP says they're going to pick up the calls 24/7, work on my issue within the hour. Okay, that's fine and dandy. But I'm going to tell you what, you're probably talking to some level one tech that has to go through several escalation paths that may take more than 60 minutes. Whereas me, I'm on site with a client because guess what? That's what you're getting. You're getting me. You're getting that one-to-one discussion, that one-to-one experience where I can help you out or one of my specific people can help you out directly without those layers of level one, level two, level three help desk. And guess what? I can cut through the red tape to tell you, you know what? Restart the computer. You should be fine. Versus logging a ticket, escalating over to proper procedures. Oh, we can't take care of it remotely. It's got to go to, you may be waiting 24 or 48 hours where, yeah, they got started in 60 minutes, but I can probably get the issue done within an hour or two. Or I'm sorry, 2 to 3 hours. So that's one thing to think about, is making sure that you block that response rejection that they are saying, hey, we have these things or these notions that this managed service provider told us about you. Bring them up, but this is how you spin them to understand that, to give you that edge on, hey, look, this is why you should go with us, because we're not that big MSP.
And so I've heard on both sides of the fence from talking to many different sized businesses is that both businesses, whether it's a large MSP versus a single person versus a medium MSP, will all talk about how they took business from somebody else for various reasons. And it goes both ways, which is funny to me. So there is no cut and dry way, because a lot of times these companies, they're maybe looking at the bottom line, or they're maybe looking at what's going to be the most profitable, which we really all should be doing. We can't be everything to everyone. And that's why we've got to know your customer. And sometimes that customer relationship goes a long way. But going back to, let's talk about protecting your time, because there are people that go, man, I got to be available on the weekends. I got to be available during the week. This is what I got to do. And here's where I'm going to put this together. And then you've got guys like Matt Rainey, who will sit there and go, I'm not working past 5 o'clock. I'm not working a weekend. So, and yet his business with many employees and partners is flourishing just fine. And yet they go, yeah, we'll get it in the morning. Because you know what? It's really, you think it's important, Mr. or Mrs. Customer. It's really not that important. And we'll take care of it. And those customers are perfectly fine with that, as long as the problem's getting fixed. You know what happens? Let's take a scenario. What happens if you're using Comcast, let's say, and your internet line goes down? Like, not just to your house, but like the whole node to your line, to your neighborhood, goes down. And Comcast goes, yeah, it's a mess. We've got to clean it up. It's going to take 3, 4, 5 days to get back up and running. Sorry about that. We'll give you a little discount on your bill. But what are you going to do?
Right. Nothing.
JD Venice in the chat was basically saying, that little slide thing won't work on new credit cards. And yeah, I get that. But at the same time, there are businesses I can walk into today and I have a chip card and they have no way to take it. So guess what I have to use? Still got to use my mag strip. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Well, I mean, the other part too is that I think there a lot of these card readers have new card readers for chip. So yes. I think that's not a set. yeah, I get what you're saying. The Macs that, you know, you're talking about the big machine that they.
Yeah, yeah. I was being a little bit facetious with that, but yes, I understand that that probably will not work in today's day and age. I get it. But my point is, again, military background, just coming out, see a problem, I figure out a way around the problem. It's what I do. I don't go, oh, can't be done. Sorry. I just don't. So for me, it's like there are ways to set stuff up to have this redundancy. But again, it comes down to cost also for the customer. And the biggest pushback I think most people will talk about is the pushback monetarily from the customer. I don't want to spend that now. And partially, I also think that that's a lot of our problems from the large MSPs and medium MSPs to us, the one-person show. I think we are not making it clear that, you know what, you budget for everything else in your business. You really need to do, you need to put aside an IT budget because you are going to need things. It can sit in an account wherever, but you are going to need things and you're going to need them periodically. And here's how it works. And you make a 2-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 1-year plan, a 6-month plan, whatever it is. You pull that stuff together so they know where they're going to be at. And here's the other thing too, going back to when we're talking about things like recurring services or automated services, these are recurring to where you're getting that income month after month after month. And there's going to be some customers where you're going to have nothing because things are just going to run and you're not going to have somebody that gets in there and messes things up. Then you're going to have the ones that people like to put their fingers on everything and mess it up and you got to go in and fix the problem anyway, which you get paid for outside of that. So there's a lot of different ways that you can skin a cat. Not that I'm into skinning cats. I'm just saying there's a lot of different ways that you can do that.
Like you said, I think it's one of those where a lot of us that are starting out need to differentiate us in a way where we are evolving from taking in residential clients for those that are starting off with residential and going into the small business market. You know, like you said, come prepared. Hey, installation project is done. I think we need to sit down every 3 months, discuss about what's going on, see how everything's going. Do you have any questions? You know, as a planning versus waiting until issues are reported and then suggesting things to them. I think once you get that point and part of the initial assessment as well, where if you do decide that you are going to do something in phases, this is a perfect time to plan those dates so that you can talk about those phases and move forward with it. Because as long as you have those touches, that's what will make that not only a client vendor relationship, but more of a partnership. And that's really what you want.
And the other thing too, is there are certain, and it, you know, again, this goes back to however you want to build your business. You can build a big MSP if that's what you want. You just have different headaches than other people. And then other people that are doing everything by themselves, they have different headaches than a larger MSP has. But you got to be able to figure out what are the things that you're going to handle. And again, some people, some business owners, they like the personal touch with the same person. There is a relationship. And so you've got that. And then there's other people, they don't care. They just want the problem fixed. So there's that. So again, it's two different ways of looking at how to fix the problem and how to make it, you know, make it right. So, but I think, Paco, it's one of those things where I'm not really sure. I don't like taking any other business and throwing them under the bus. And I don't think anybody should do that. I know that it gets done all the time. And I believe in karma, laws of sowing and reaping, whatever you want to call it, doesn't really matter. It comes back and it will bite you 100% of the time. So I just sit back and go, hey, whatever. Talk about me all you want. I don't care because it's not going to be good. But not that I wish anything bad on anybody. I try, even though it's so easy to, oh, I can't believe somebody would do that. You just go, you know what? No, what do you need to bring this negativity for? It's not helping anything. You are there to come in and solve a problem. Can you, as a one-person show, come in and solve their problem? In a lot of cases, I would say yes. As long as, and here's the thing, a lot of companies out there will look at their business and they'll go, if you have whatever, let's say you had 50 businesses out there that you take care of and you've got 10 employees. What happens? Because here's what you always hear. You go, well, the one person show, they can only basically take care of one person at a time. So what are you going to do? Well, it could be the same no matter what size. If you've got 10 employees and you've got 50 businesses and 11 of them have a major catastrophe for whatever reason, and you've got to have people on site, well, you don't have enough employees to go around. Now what do you do? It's the same scenario. It's like we always want to paint the doomsday scenario, which rarely ever comes to fruition. But yet we talk about it like it happens every day, which is amazing to me.
But at the same time as well, as once that's brought up, it is on you on how to respond to that when, again, the managed service provider says, hey, he's only a one-man shop. What is he going to do if he's over across town, someone crashed? What are you going to do? That's on you to, A, reject that or basically respond to it. Or if you know that's a consistent thing that's being brought up with, again, being in a metropolitan area or being in an urban area that basically, a rural area, I should say, that has a couple competitors that where, you know, word travels around fast. The whole point is you have to be able to, A, block reject response that suggestion. But the other piece is, if you know that's a consistent thing, you really need to write down a list of consistent things that are asked of you or brought up about, hey, you're a one-man show. What can you do for me? And work on your responses to basically block those rejections so you can make that sale to focus on why your value is important to them.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's sometimes you want to get defensive when things are said and to come up with a proper response in order to make it where it does not come off as you're being defensive. And again, it's one of those things where I think there's plenty of business out there for everybody involved. And are there people that don't believe that and I don't care? You're wrong. There are plenty of people. It's just that a lot of times I think a lot of businesses just want to sit back, set some things up and pull some money in, and that's good and whatever, everything's going on. Then there's other businesses that actually care and they go in there and they do everything within their ability to make things right. Well, at the same time, you got to be kind of somewhere in the middle where you're kind of Johnny on the spot for certain things. But here's the thing. People talk about SLAs, and you'll find out that most businesses do not have SLAs with their customers because, again, response time is not as important as everybody thinks. Response time is great if you're paying the money for it. Most businesses aren't willing to pay that extra money to have that super quick response time. And here's the other thing. Let's take a major company like, I don't know, Dell. And let's say they have a 4-hour response time on their servers, their workstations, whatever their extended service package is, right? That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be within 4 hours that's going to be up and running and fixed. It doesn't work like that. But yet, there are people out there that will basically lie and make it sound like that is what they do, when the reality is, no, most of the time, best effort is what we can offer you. And that's what you're going to get. But you know what? We're going to do enough things, and I think anybody can do this at any size, we're going to do enough things to have preventative maintenance in place to where most of the time, you're not going to have to worry about this stuff. It's going to be the major catastrophes that happen where you got to go in. I'm sorry, resetting a password? Yeah, it might be inconvenient, not a major catastrophe. It's like, I don't know, take a stick it note and write it on there and stick it on your monitor. I'm kidding. Especially if you're in a doctor's office, that is okay. I'm kidding.
So the other part about this too is you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot. So yes, there's business all over the place, but there's probably a lot of good business that you could have achieved that were, again, you vetted the customers, you think this is a good fit, but because you weren't prepared or you've kind of just decided, hey, I'm just going to talk to them, they're going to like my charisma and charm, and that's how I'm going to get the business. You got to make sure you're prepared. I mean, that's just a big thing that I can't stress enough, because the moment you say the wrong thing or you say something that could have been worded a little bit differently could make that big difference on you closing that contract or not. And my big issue is that as I continue to talk, I tend to ramble and go down these rabbit holes when in reality, I didn't stay focused on answering and being prepared for that particular question that I know comes up with every sale or pitch that I have.
All right, Paco. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little role playing.
Oh, no. So I said, this is what we should do.
I understand that. But let's talk about some of the responses that we can have that are going to make sense for what we do. If sure. I come to you and I say, the other people, the big MSP or whomever, said that they can have 24/7 monitoring. What can you offer me?
The same thing. And the reason why you say that is because what you explain to them is that, yes, although we can go ahead and, yeah, the big MSP are saying that they can remotely monitor 24/7. The response times is the question. We can remotely monitor it as well. But guess what? If we find out that there's a server down or there's a PC that the backup stopped at 3 a.m, do you really want me to give you a call at 3 a.m? I think you probably wanted me to give you a call when first time you open, which is the same hours that we have when we open as well. So that would be something.
And that's perfect because that makes sense. What you just did was you took something and you actually made sense with it without being defensive, without being up in arms and going, oh, I can't believe that somebody would say that. And that, you know, they don't offer anything better than we do. We do the same things.
But yeah, I mean, it's a big thing. And I think for those that are just trying to figure out that type of stuff, just look up those type. I mean, I'm trying to remember the actual term of it. It's but I believe it's called block response selling. And that's basically what you want to Google and look up a lot of them. Again, a good friend of mine wrote a book specifically on that, particularly probably a thin book, something like that. And it explains to you on how when you're hit with these type of things, you want to make sure that you turn it around that basically benefits you, but also just block that response. I mean, there's no other better way to say that, but you basically diminished what power they were trying to get over on you. And that's why it always helps when you're the second one in on a pitch than the first one going in.
Right. Yeah, because you're in. I think if you have these pre-planned in your head or written down somewhere, in practice, these questions being thrown at you. And again, this has got to be something. A lot of times, if a customer is out there and they're basing things on price, maybe that's not the customer you really want, because they're going to nickel and dime you for every little thing, and then maybe they know they can control one person shop versus what another larger managed service provider is going to give them. So I think there's a lot to be learned from people that are out there in what we do in our businesses. And I would like to see in the future people working together. And what I mean by that is, if I go, you know what, you've got 20 computers, and I don't really deal with 20 computers because I don't feel comfortable with it. I'm just throwing a number out there. It doesn't really matter. Everybody's got their threshold. So, but there is somebody I know that could take care of those, and vice versa. But everybody is just, they're out there trying to hold on to everything they can, and they're so worried that somebody's going to take a little bit of business from them. And I'll say it again, if somebody can take business from you, you didn't have the business, period. I don't care how great you think you are or how great a job you thought you did. The reality is you didn't have it for whatever reason. And it's not personal. It could be monetary. It could be anything. It could be somebody had a bad day and they're tired and they want to try something different. It doesn't matter. So, Paco, is there any other things that responses that you can think about as far as what's thrown out there that we could maybe come up with as far as how do you rebuke some of those?
The biggest piece outside of, I mean, it's all about, because I'm in pitch mode, so that's what kind of stands out in my forefront, which is what spawned this conversation. Because we've talked about, you know, managed service providers versus one-man armies, one-man, you know, man in the vans, things like that. But I think it's the fact of, for those that are making that transition or want to acquire more small business clients, this is something that you want to make, you want to really think about. And the biggest thing that you want to make sure you understand is, A, doing that, qualifying your client. And then once you've qualified your client, making sure that you've prepared your own spin on things, because your perspective is what people want to hear. And a lot of people don't, people love to do business with people they trust. They also love to do business with people that loosely term for friends, but basically with referrals of friends as well. So if you build a good rapport just by you, you're already halfway through the door. It's up, it's on you to make sure you're prepared to be able to close that sale. So it's like someone saying, I'm going to give you all these leads. What are you going to do to capitalize and make sure you take advantage of them?
The biggest thing too is not to be afraid to try something. Again, are you going to be great at everything you do? No. And sometimes you just have to go out there and try some of these things and do it. And maybe if you get to the point where it's too much, and you'll figure out that those are the things that you no longer want to do, and you'll adjust your business accordingly. But don't be so afraid, or don't think that you have to transition your business. Because I think a lot of people out there are in this mode where somebody tells them something. And again, even from my standpoint, don't believe everything I say just because I say it.
Pretty much.
Because quite honestly, my wife always tells me I could sell ice cubes to Eskimos. I don't know what that means, but anyways. So the point being is you have to really look inside yourself and figure out what things you want to do and what type of business you want to have for yourself and what's going to work for you. There are things, if you're doing things that you don't like to do, granted, there are always going to be things that you don't like to do, right?
But there are things you despise not wanting to do.
Exactly. And some of those things you will have to do. But if you're coming upon a problem that is the same over and over again, and you cannot stand fixing that particular problem, maybe you should give it off to somebody else. And I'll give you the prime example too. If John Dubinsky were here, he would tell you he doesn't run cables. He doesn't do VoIP service. He farms all that stuff out. Why? Because he's good at the network side. He's good at what he does. He sets up the workstations. He puts things together. And he makes sure that it works with the software. The backups are working. The network is ran right. Everything's doing what it needs to do. He concentrates on what he's good at. Now, does he love that stuff? A lot of it, yes, he does. He really does. But there are certain things that he knows, yeah, I would not be happy if I had to crawl around and drag cable through walls and all kinds of stuff. There's people for that. And there's people that, quite honestly, have been doing it for so long that they are much better at it and quicker than I could ever get it done anyway. So let me keep it my core competencies, what I'm really good at, and continue to do that and make a very good living. That's what a lot of people don't understand is you can, I don't care if you're doing it by yourself or you're doing it with many employees, you can make a good living in this business. You have to believe that, and you have to stop listening to the naysayers out there that will tell you that, oh, everybody's, you know, their computers are dead. Nobody's doing that stuff anymore. It's like, yeah, okay. Next time I walk into a store, I'm going to see everybody on their smartphones taking orders and stuff like that.
I think you kind of really said it clear before is there is no magic bullet. There is no just here are the tools, you're going to set it up and you walk. It's none of that. And that's why one man shops are getting such a bad rap, because they believe, hey, I bought these tools, I'm going to set it up and buy, you know, and what you have to do is invest in yourself with the skill set. And that could be done two ways. One, understanding the logical and overview of why you're doing a certain thing. Hey, this is why we're monitoring the machines to do X. This is helping us prevent this to instead of costing us Y dollars because we have to roll the truck out there. The other part about it is specific. Immerse yourself into tools that you're using, because you might think, hey, this Black Friday sale on something looks really, really cool, will save me 40% of what I'm doing, but didn't realize that, yeah, there's some stuff in there that are cool and nice and shiny, but your tool had that and could do something a little bit more that will help you adjust your pricing for the new year to include that type of stuff. So immersing yourself in the tools will not only make it more profitable, but also will help you possibly with your own duties per day, saving you time, which is really what we're trying to do on a day-to-day basis.
And the other thing too, you talked about at the beginning of the show, we talked about how people will say part-time techs. And I even say that too. And I mean that in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, because I do agree with Paco, is there are business owners and there are non-business owners. And a business owner does things like pays taxes to their local, state, and federal government. If you're not doing those things, if you're not paying your taxes in your business, and quite honestly, this is one area where I will say that there's three types of people in the world: those that are good at math and those that aren't. And so, in my opinion, probably 99.99999%, 100% should have an accountant. You should not be doing your own books, because the chances of you screwing it up or not seeing something or being told by somebody else that this is the way it should be done, get a professional that's going to look at it and go, no, you can't take that as a deduction. That's not going to work. You need to have this, this, and this. And a lot of times, my accountant's been good at this for years. He saves me a ton of money, well worth the money. And I pay him a lot of money every year, well worth the money that I pay him, because he saves me so much money in my business. And it's not, he's conservative too. And still, there's things that if I were to do it myself, I would not only lose so much money, there would probably be many times where it was wrong and the IRS would be coming knocking on my door anyways.
Right. I think exactly like you said, and a term that was used that I heard not so long ago was, you're, like you said, business owner and not business owner. And the reason why the way you can tell if you're a business owner or not business owner is, can the business run without you? If the business cannot run without you, you're not a business owner. You're an employee. And guess what? You have a job. So hearing that makes you want to get out of that mindset, because you just literally just shifted from one area to another and you're not a business owner just yet.
And these are part of the growing pains that we all go through, because in the beginning, you definitely have to get down in the mire and muck and figure some of these things out. But yet you'll figure a lot of this stuff out and you'll be able to pass it on to somebody else, whether it be an employee, subcontractors, whatever. You'll be able to pass this information on and everybody will be better off for that. Everybody's got to learn. Everybody learns at a different pace and it's okay. The other thing too is, do not compare yourself to other businesses. Your business is your business. You run it however you see fit. Just follow within the national guidelines, whatever that means for you, and make sure that you're doing the right things. So they're not, it's not, I'm not taking money under the table, none of that stuff. And sometimes that's very easy to do. I have customers that tell me cash is king. And it's funny. It's almost like when they come and pay for their service, it's like I give them the computer in one hand and they've got an envelope filled with cash in the other hand. So with my name on it, it doesn't really matter. I still am obligated to report that money. And here's another little side tip. If anybody ever out there tells you that you don't have to report everything, if you make a penny you need to report it. If you make a micro penny, you need to report it. It's all reportable. Do we want to? No, we don't want to. But again, this is part of doing business. So, and we said this before when we're talking about, and this is kind of a side tangent, but when we're talking about pricing yourself and a lot of people are going in for that lower price, well, I can do this for $50 cheaper per hour. Well, you're forgetting about the soft costs that are built into your business. And soft costs are things like taxes, advertising, stuff that you need to have, tools, paper, pen, whatever, notebook, toolbox, screwdrivers, all this stuff is built into. And yes, you're not replacing that stuff all the time. Some of it you are. Some of it's consumable. You got to have a way to print. So when you're looking at your business, when you charge $100 an hour, you're not making $100 an hour. You might be making 60 after everything is said and done. So when you're charging 60, what are you keeping? Anyways. All right, Paco, let's take another quick break and then we'll move on into the next section. Our show today is brought to you by Repair Shopper, the all-in-one platform created specifically for computer repair businesses. It was developed by Troy Anderson, who owned his own computer repair MSP business for 10 years, which prompted him to create Repair Shopper. He found himself using multiple tools day to day just to be able to run his business and realized it was taking time away from doing what he loved most, serving his customers, which I think we all can feel that and know that that's why a lot of us do what we do. We love Repair Shopper because it contains all the essentials: point of sale, customer relationship management, ticketing, integrated invoices, estimates, and payments. Plus, powerful extras are built in marketing and reporting tools. It truly is the most complete computer repair business solution available. It's also fully customizable to fit your shop's workflow and integrate with a variety of tools like QuickBooks, Slack, and Kabuto, to name a few. Their support team is great and will give you a full walkthrough of the system when you create an account. Check them out at repairshopper.com. And remember, that's a REPAIRSHOPR.com, where you can sign up for a free trial. Free trial, you might as well do it, right? It's easy to do and check it out and play with it.
No, you need to do it. Go to Repair Shopper, sign up for your trial, get on.
I agree. Once you start doing that, because we've probably all started off with the paper invoicing and then went, what in the world am I doing? I'm carrying this big stack, this big folder around, and I've got a file folders full of paperwork from customers. Actually, I still do because I still make them sign a paper copy. But anyways, that's another side note. But everything else, once they're in my system, I can email them through there. I can do all kinds of things that I can touch the customer. There's integration with a lot of things. Ninja, TeamViewer, all that stuff. And I can go right in the account, contact with the customer, and boom, we're up and running. So definitely check it out. All right, let's see. We don't have any emails this week, but we do have a voicemail. So the phone lines are open. The call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. If you are a business owner and you have a question, feel free to reach out to us and hopefully we can answer the question or at least have some dialogue and talk about it. Let's go to our voicemail.
Hi, Jeff and the Podnuts people. I was just calling with a tip today. Next time you're doing a conference room and about to run a 25-foot HDMI cable, test the cable before you fishline it. It'll avoid you having to show your face and get mud all over it because it's very embarrassing. That's basically the tip. Test long cables. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.
Isn't it always the simple things that sometimes we forget to do because we're so focused on the problem and making things, putting things together, making it work? And this comes back to a point where Paco talked about in the beginning about invoicing, making sure to keep up with that, making sure you know what's going on in the background. And I'll even talk about entering things like the computer that I just pulled into the shop I just want to get in there and fix it. I don't want to take the, and then my process sometimes might be all over the place. I know I should check the hardware. Its hardware seems all right. Let me go and start this and let's do a little malware removal and whatnot. Now there's tools out there that can make that all seamless and all in one and kind of go from there. But I do have a process that I am starting to use so that it's consistent every time. And the other reason is a lot of people don't probably haven't heard this yet, but my wife and my two youngest kids actually want to start doing some of the basic repairs on computers. Kind of grow the business, use it as a family business, that type of thing. So what we're going to do is, and this is going to be a bonus for me, is I'm going to be able to teach them and walk them through the process while we write down the process so that I can have some very, very good, thorough process sheets, which Paco and I have talked about for, I don't know, years now.
Pretty much.
And I don't think we ever have come up with anything yet.
Probably not.
It's one of those things where it's like, it would be nice, but I'm too busy putting out fires, so I don't want to deal with that right now. But I think it would be helpful to a lot of people out there. It would be helpful to all of us. And so the other piece of advice would be, in your downtime, like during the holiday season, when you've got some spare moments, you've got less things going on in your business, or there's slow months or whatever, look at that stuff. Start seeing what you can process, what you can put on paper, what you can streamline, what you can make better in your business. And then when you're going out and setting up an AV room, like our caller did, then maybe you'll check the cable before you put everything together and fish it through a wall. That would be horrible.
I'd be so mad. I'd be so mad. I get like that when I put the wrong screw in the wrong place on the laptop and I assembled everything. And then as I'm putting on the back chassis back on, it's like, oh, re-screw everything off.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you mean you don't, minimum, I pull the laptop apart like three times, right? Just to make sure I get it back right because I forgot a cable or something.
I take pictures. I take pictures of complicated screws.
There you go. Yeah, I used to do that. I don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that anymore as of 2018.
There you go. Well, no, I mean, I my screws just come out and they go in a little jar. That's fine. They'll find their way back.
Got it.
I know I've done it right when there's an extra screw left.
There you go. Those are spares.
Oh, all right. Let's take a moment. I also want to, something great happened and I wish John was here today and I'm sure we'll talk about this here in the next upcoming weeks. John last week had put out a challenge to all of the listeners to this show. And so one of the things that he said is he doesn't have a Facebook account, and we have a secret Facebook group for the Computer Repair Podcast Patreon supporters. It's a buck a show. It's four shows max a month. I don't charge any of the extra shows I do, I don't charge for those. It's a buck an episode. So $4 a month, less than a cup of Starbucks Frappuccino, coffee, latte, whatever's. And, but we had a bunch of people step up. So this, I'm going to go through this list and it's a healthy list. It's the most I've ever seen all at one time, which is kind of cool. And if you want to support this show before I go into this list, go to patreon.com/computer repair podcast. We also would like to do some giveaways. So we have a $200 per episode goal that we'd like to do to kind of support all of us out there with different tools and things that we could give away. But we had our newest Patreon supporters. I want to thank each and every one of you. We have Chris Carruthers. We also have Cristobal Rivera, Christian Garcia, Joe Kanazovich, Jason Percival, and Tom Wilmot actually went in and upped his pledge because he really wanted the Maven in here. And also Kyle Kenyon. I appreciate each and every one of you for giving to the show. And thank you. It definitely helps keep the lights on. And like I said, some of us are motivated by fuzzy, warm feelings. I'm usually motivated by money. So that works for me. But I do want to thank all of our Patreon supporters for your continued support. So those are our newest patrons, and appreciate everybody. And we have gone over, John only put it up to a $40 per episode challenge. And I think we're at $34 and something. And that went up fairly quickly within a few days. So appreciate all of you out there. And then also I wanted to let people know, if there are, for the people that have signed up for the Patreon support before, okay, and bear with me, I'm learning the system and I don't understand exactly how everything works. So again, it's a learning process that I'm going through. I had put a post on there for patrons only. So when you sign up to be a patron, you can see the post. The problem is you can see that post along with a bunch of other posts. So I think I fixed the problem. When a new patron signs up, you will get a thank you message. And for all the other ones, and it'll tell you exactly what to do to be a part of the secret Facebook group. Here's the thing. As technicians, most of us all have 10, 15, 20, 30 email accounts. So we sign up for them all, right? And we've collected them over the years. And so sometimes we'll use different ones for different things. We have ones for Facebook. We have ones for signing up for this service or that service. Or we've got a throwaway one where we give to all our vendors so we don't ever get spammed or anything like that. So what happens is, on Facebook with a secret group, I can add people one of two ways. And that basically is, if I'm already friends with you on Facebook, I can just add you into the group. That's easy. If I'm not, then what I need is I need your email address that you use for Facebook, because most of the time it's different than the email address you've signed up with on Patreon. So for all those that have signed up before, if you're not in the secret Facebook group yet and you want to be, all you need to do is send me an email, podnuts@podnuts.com, with your email address that you log into Facebook with. That's what I need, and I can add you, and I've just been doing it manually. So a lot of people are in there. I think we're up to 19 some odd people right now. And people are still sending in emails and are getting added very, very quickly. So a couple things, and I'm going to talk about maybe some of the things that are going to go on in there. Right now, it's kind of been quiet. There's been a couple questions have been asked. I've talked to a couple people in answering some of those questions. My whole purpose in the secret Facebook group was, number one, to have a safe place for people to share ideas, to not be looked down upon, right, Paco? And just to be able to share whatever it is, ask the basic questions that might have been asked 100 times. Maybe you've been asked on the show or whatever, but there's new people coming in all the time. So this would be a spot for people to ask questions. Also, it's also a great place to give feedback for the podcast. What things do you want to hear about? What do you want us to talk about? What ideas do you have for the show? Now, again, we're not going to be able to do everything that everybody wants, but I listen even to the negative suggestions. I listen to every suggestion, and a lot of times I get ideas from most of them, as long as they're constructive. If you're going to be just negative just to be negative, well, whatever.
Yep, we're booting you.
Paco said. Did I make you a moderator, Paco? I think I did. He said it, so.
I said it. Don't be a jerk in the Facebook group. That's the point of this. This is a safe and friendly area for everyone to be able to ask a question without being afraid to be judged, without being afraid of, oh, why didn't he Google it? No, you can ask safely, whatever.
Yeah.
We see a jerk in the group that says that, you're getting booted. End of story.
There you go. Paco said it. He's a moderator, so what he says goes. So I definitely encourage people out there. And again, I believe that a lot of times there should be even a basic way to have entry into something. Like, I think a lot of us, we need to pay for the things that we use. And so with that being said, to throw a little bit of money at the show and continue the support for the show is really great. And I want to do some great things with it down the road. But it also gives you this special access, And again, people have, everybody else has access to me. You can email me anytime you want. You will get a response back. But I want to have a forum, a group where we can pull together. But the other thing that I'm also going to start doing is I am going to start doing, now we don't allow anybody else to do live videos in the Facebook group, but I will because I'm special. It's because of my group. But what I want to do is, seriously, some of the things we talk about sometimes, I want to maybe set up where we do a screen share. Hey, here is my virus removal process. Here's what I do. Or here's what I've been working on today. Or maybe answering, instead of a long, drawn out typing session where I'm answering a question, maybe I do a live video that talks about some of my thought process on what people are dealing with, what they're going through, and just gives you something else to think about. And that is my goal, for to give a little bit extra back to the community that is supporting this show and making it possible to do the things that we need to do on a regular basis. So I really appreciate that. And I got Paco's my, he's my right-hand man with, he'll give you a boom pow to the kissa and, you know, all that. But anyways, now I appreciate everybody involved, and I want to make this something where it's a help to everyone involved. So definitely, if you are not part of that secret Facebook group, and I made it secret because I don't want it to be found by anybody else other than the people that listen to the show. And I think it's, we can make something great out of it, and we can all learn. And again, I will go back to, a rising tide raises all ships. And I firmly believe that. So if we can be positive and help each other out and just point each other into directions, because again, for a lot of us, and myself included, a lot of us are type A personalities. Yes, I'm a type A personality, if you can't tell. But I also try to, I try to dial that back. And my overall goal is always to help people. That's the only, quite honestly, that's the only reason I continue to do the show. I could shut down my business tomorrow, and it's I do it because I want to be in the know, and it's something that it keeps me in the know and does a little bit extra out there. It's not a huge deal, but I do it because I want to help people. That's my main goal. So that's why I continue to do the show, is to help people out there. The day it stops helping people is the day I need to go do something else. I need to do something else that's going to help somebody. So, Paco, I think,
yes,
I think it's time to go, don't you?
I believe so. It's about that time.
Do you have any parting thoughts? Anything that, I know I've talked a lot today, and I do apologize. I've had a lot on my mind, and I appreciate you letting me spout off and say my piece. But do you have any last, do you have any last nugget of information that you could tell the listeners and then let them know where they can find you?
Sure. One piece or nugget that I suggest is not only looking at your statements, as I mentioned in the tips, but also look at possibly trying to see if you can cut your expenses. There's a good article that TechNibble just recently wrote not too long ago about how to look at your expenses and really get into understanding how you can be a little bit more profitable by certain packages, services that you have, that you can possibly maybe have a deal, or maybe you're on an outdated service that would be more bang for your buck. So that would be what I would suggest, especially this time of year. You should really look at trying to make as much money before you go into the new year.
Very cool.
For those who want to figure out where I am, I will be over at Podnuts Daily. We come out every week. If you'd like to get a hold of me, just reach out at guest@podnuts.com.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Because, you know, that's the other thing too, right? People can actually, this is the only podcast that I know where people of every type of business, as far as computer repair, can actually come out and share how they do their business and have a dialogue with the Paco LeBron.
For now.
Until he spins that off and does something else. But, you know, for right now. But anyways, you're not going to find a whole lot of podcasts out there that allow that type of interaction. And so a lot of people are just out there and they just want to talk and share information, which is cool. And then there's people that want to help others to share their information and help them in their business.
Yep. It is pre-recorded. It is not live. So for those that are a little camera shy, it's audio only. So if you are interested in just talking tech, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. All right. Come join us live for the Computer Repair Podcast every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live. Join in on the conversation by calling in live and hanging out in the chat room. You can also send an email to podnuts@podnuts.com, or you can leave a voicemail, like our caller did earlier, at 1-888-697-0162. We have audio available over at podnuts.com, or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. You can be notified when the show is live by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Computer Repair Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on the Computer Repair Podcast.